know, and I told the team the truth. I said, hey, it starts with me. I've got to do a better job of preparing the team, you know, getting ready. You know, we came out. I give them credit. Our team, they came back and they fought back. You know, and then at the end of the game, I've got to do a better job. You know, I ran the ball on first down and I got greedy and, you know, I should have ran the ball and ran the clock out and went to overtime. So, you know, that's my fault. You know, other than that, I just got to do a better job in getting this team ready when we go on the road and play on the road.
Doug Marrone in the post game yesterday at University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. Jags fall 27-24. The Jags are now 7-4, tied for first place in the AFC South. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday. All right.
You know what's great, though,
yeah,
by the way?
Yeah.
A little 6-yard crossing route is getting greedy for this team.
Stop.
I mean,
stop.
We beat it to death.
Listen,
he's been good most of the year. That was awful.
No, he knows. Look, he fessed up to it. You got to give him credit for that.
It is what it is. But...
All right. So here are the numbers. Blake versus Blaine.
But before
yesterday,
we get to the Blake Blaine thing, a couple things. You realize all three first round draft picks in the history of this franchise were in the building yesterday.
That's right. Yeah.
Byron, did you see Byron yesterday?
I didn't. I looked for him. Byron, Blaine, and Blake, what is the next quarterback's name? Is it going to start with a B? That's the report. If we draft another one in the first round, because they all start with B. Just letting you know that.
Thank you.
Two, we'll go through your little
Baker Mayfield.
Oh, stop.
Well, hey, that kid can play now. Before we get to
the flag at midfield.
Before your comparison, we need to talk offense in general too. We touched on it in the end of the last segment, but this offense can't move the ball and doesn't move the ball and doesn't score points without a lot of help.
Early in the year, we were talking about how good this offensive line was playing.
Well, they also have two backups playing now.
They
do. Let's not forget that.
That's a big part of this. Parnell's the big part of this, I think.
Parnell is too, but I'm worried about Cam. I mean, I'm high on Cam still, and I was really high early, and I still think he has the opportunity to be a great left tackle in this league, but he's not playing well right now. And I don't know if it's his ankle, ever since he got the ankle hurt, if that's bothering him or what. But his play has not been great, and not just in the
– What's the problem, Tony? You evaluate him.
He turns too early, and if you play a good pass rusher, you start turning your shoulders, and his feet are getting all messed up. His weight is way on his outside, so he leans way outside. So if they come inside, he can't he can't adjust. I mean, he's so perpendicular to the line of scrimmage, so quick. He gives guys two-way goes. And then even in the run game, he's not moving his feet like he once did early in the season. He's just kind of position blocking more than he had in the past. I mean, it's not good. Now, he wasn't the only offender on Sunday, trust me. But
No. By the way, we buried the lead today, JP.
No, did
What's
we?
That?
What's that? Oh, I think I know.
A certain guy on this show is now a finalist again for
Lawrence. No, it's not a finalist. Semifinalist.
Semifinal. Yes. You'll be a finalist again. You'll get in this year. You're getting in.
Okay, listen. I don't want to talk about this.
I'll guarantee it.
Okay, thank you. Let's do your Blake.
No, I'm guaranteeing
thank you.
This year.
That's scary to me. Because usually when I
saw your interview on NFL Network.
Is it a lock? Are you going to lock it?
Pete, don't lock it. Because whenever we lock things in the show, it goes bad.
No, I saw Tony's interview on the NFL Network when he was talking about eating the Boselli burger that had three patties.
You like that?
Yeah.
With a McRib bun.
If I get in, Pete, are you coming?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think the whole city of Jacksonville will be in Canton if you go.
Yeah, don't exaggerate, Jamie.
Still want to give him a bigger head.
Hey, let's do the
comments. He doesn't have that many friends.
Very few friends.
Blake Bortles yesterday. Here are the numbers. You judge for yourself. 19 of 33 passing, 160 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, 57.6 rating. But 6 rushes for 62 yards.
Leading rusher of the team.
2 touchdowns. The most
single
rushing
wing,
touchdown.
Single wing. Remember the old single wing?
No, they're moving the ball to read option.
Wing T?
Wing T. They should go to bowls and see if they can borrow their playbook for next week.
Jeez. Wow. Blaine Gabbert, 22 of 38, 241 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 83.3 rating. And 6 rushes for 17 yards.
Okay, but let's do this. Let me say this. Mm-hmm. Two things. Because you can't do it in a vacuum. Are the receivers better in Arizona than the Jaguars receivers?
I'd say yeah.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pete.
Come on now.
Yeah, they don't have Larry Fitzgerald.
That was an easy one.
Yes. Yes, the answer is yes.
But they're
yes.
not great in Arizona right now either without John Brown. And I mean, Fitzgerald's better. Yes.
Okay.
They made
Seals Jones looks. I thought Seals Ricky Jones. Seals Jones. I'm like, is this guy a first rounder? I mean, I've never heard of him before, but he's pretty
good.
Well,
you know what he was? He was a wide receiver at Texas A&M, and they blew him up and made him a move tight end.
He can play now. And he, man, the collision between him and Telvin, golly.
Telvin got the worst of it.
Yeah, right. That did not work out. Okay, so that's two. But here's so that's that would be a check mark in favoring Blaine Gabbert far as
receiver
advantage,
receiver talent, overall talent. Okay,
but here's the thing that he was playing against the number one pass defense in the NFL, against the team who had the most sacks in the NFL and the best defense in the NFL. And he put up those numbers.
He was only sacked once.
And that was his own fault.
Yep.
I mean, the eye test clearly shows.
So, Pete, I'm not going to get involved because it's hard for me. I mean, we're here. But let me ask you this. Because you were sitting there with other people, and you were watching it. If you'd have taken a poll in that room, how many, if you said, yeah, you can only pick one, Blaine or Blake, which one are you taking?
They'd take Blake. Blaine. Blaine.
Who would you take?
Blaine.
So you'd take Blaine so you're telling me this team's bet would be a better
right now,
football team with Blaine Gabbert than Blake Bortles?
Well, here's the other
thing,
disagree. Though, Tony. They allow him to take shots and chances and to move it around a little bit. I mean, the first series yesterday, what was the first? I could have called the first series from
run, 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 screen. Run, screen.
Right. I could have called it from my seat here. It was so predictable. Run, run, screen. And they expected a blitz on third down, and they didn't get it.
No, they got the blitz. They recovered and covered it, though, still.
I mean, it was terrible. I just think at some point, enough with it. You're not a power running team. You think you are. You're not when your two offensive linemen are out. And they got to get – look, Blake is limited, but you can't keep holding it back to the point where he's even more limited. You know what I mean? He's just cutting down the field on that third down play where he got picked. Let him go back and throw the ball, and then he can run out of there if he has to. I don't know. I just – His legs are a weapon, right? I mean, they are a weapon.
He is. And I think where he gets where I think he's good for this team right now, his ability to stand in there and his toughness in the pocket.
He'll take some hits now.
He's tough, man.
Oh my God.
There's no doubt
it's
about it.
It's unreal. And the guy is just – he's a warrior, and he doesn't complain. He competes his tail off. I'm with you, though, Pete.
By the way –
more and more I'm going towards you. It's like at some point – you got to open it up because you have to get people out of this. They have no respect for the passing game. When teams are just continually putting extra guys in the box and extra guys in the box and saying, go ahead and throw it against us. Mm-hmm. At some point, you got to go do it.
The Rams game kind of opened that up because they didn't have an answer that day. And they haven't
Everybody
had quite
does
an
it
answer
now.
Since then.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, the Chargers did it to them. The
Bengals did it to them.
The Bengals did it to them. The Cardinals did it to him. I mean, the Cleveland Browns weren't good enough to do it to him. It's troubling. It is a worry, this offense. And I know we've all talked, and both Pete and I said it, so I'm not going to backtrack that they should win every game. We said last week they should win every game left on their schedule. Offensively, I said that expecting the offense to kind of get out of the funk. And, you start getting some guys healthy and you start playing better football. Every game, if they don't improve offensively, let me say this: there's not a game left on their schedule they can't lose.
They can't, right? Correct.
I'm not saying they can't win everyone either, but there's not a game on their schedule they can't lose. And if they don't get better on offense, every game will go down to the fourth quarter, and the defense will have to make a play or get a score or a short field, or special teams will have to do something.
And if they continue to play offense this style, this way, even if they win with their defense again in the postseason, they have no chance. Zero. Because you got to at least get 17, 18, 19, 20 points, right? I mean, you have to be able to move the ball and have some consistency. They don't have any. By the way, they botched the end of the half, too, when you talk about clock management. They
remind me a little bit.
They spiked the ball on first down, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right, JP?
Stand by. Stand by.
Yeah, they ran up and
spiked it.
They should have run a play.
Well,
they needed that play. They needed the play. They were plenty of time.
Pete, they got sacked.
I know, but there was plenty of time. They didn't need to spike the ball.
No, they had no timeouts left, and they wouldn't.
They didn't need the down was more important than the time. They had plenty of time. How much time was left when he spiked the ball?
2 minute warning. Bortles pass short middle. Westbrook pushed out of bounds 7 yards. Minute 53 pass short left to Yeldon 3 yards. No huddle. Here comes first, Bortles pass
that's
short
the first
middle.
Down.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, that was,
no.
It got him a first down.
Yeah, now short middle.
Right.
First and 10, short middle, 11 yards, Yeldon. First and 10, 1:05 to go. Short left, Lee for 13 yards. 47 seconds, a first down play, spiked the ball.
Yeah,
stopped
47.
The clock. 47.
No, they didn't have a lot of time left. They had no timeouts either.
You need it down. You need it down.
No, they did. They got sacked.
Second down sack for 10, nine, minus 10.
Right, now it's third and 20.
And then that's it. Then it's up.
No, then they got within field goal range and kicked the field goal and got three.
Yeah. And Shaughnessy for 7.
They weren't scoring a touchdown there, Pete, no matter what.
Well, I mean, I forget Pete. Sometimes who I'm talking about. They shouldn't have spiked it. A real offense doesn't spike it with 47 seconds left. I'm sorry. They just don't. They line up and run their play.
Yeah, I disagree with you.
Hey, we'll come back and break down the defense a little bit more. We haven't talked much about Chandler Jones's day, by the way, for Arizona.
Well,
holy
I mean, he was working
moly.
Against Robinson, right? I mean, that's who he was.
No, let's not.
Day.
I mean, do we have to rub salt in the wound?
Well,
really?
Just saying.
Let's talk about the defense.
He had a day. We'll
listen,
do that
the defense
too.
Gave
defense
24 points, 27 points.
They did.
Not
they also
good.
Had some plays to get him back in the game too.
No, they listen.
So a mixed bag yesterday.
Mixed bag by the defense, but it's the first time since the Tennessee game it's been a mixed bag.
We got to talk about the mysterious hand injury too.
Hand injury.
We'll do that. Check out Jack Adamia's Audi Jacksonville.
A lot of interesting
stuff. Stop talking.
A lot of interesting stuff at the end of the game, too.
Check out Jack Adamia's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Thank you, Tony. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
That Thanksgiving, every game is going to be tough because everybody's fighting to get into the playoffs. They're trying to get in. You know, this team right here, that's the team, you know. And I know them well. You know, I knew that it was going to be a hard-fought battle. It was going to be tough to win. You know, this is a tough environment to play in. And, you know, we came out, you know, and you know, made some plays, missed out on some plays. And, you know, I mean, it was a good game. But, you know, we really wanted to get this win. You know, it sucks that we didn't.
It's Calais Campbell after the game in Phoenix. As the Jags fell 27-24, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday rolls along. Thanks to those of you watching tonight on the Jags Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for joining us.
We were a little bit late tonight because Doug Marrone's press conference was being aired on that tonight and on Jaguars.com.
Yeah, I tried to protest. I protested. I said we should be on. The show's more important.
Well, we're on now.
Have they changed the schedule or something?
No, it was just
a late game.
West Coast
no,
trip
home.
And all
we
that.
We got home like at 4 a.m. last night.
No. I'm talking about last. Didn't they practice last Tuesday?
Well, they took Thanksgiving off.
Thanksgiving's a holiday, Pete. Yeah.
We never had it off, ever.
Really?
No, I worked. When I covered the Jaguars, I worked Thanksgiving.
We got in early, so we'd get in like instead of 8 o'clock meetings, you'd have like 6:30 meetings, so we'd get home early.
Hmm.
Right.
And everything was condensed. But we worked everything.
Yeah. Every Thursday.
I think the last couple of years it's changed. I remember when I first started here, the first few years we did work Thanksgiving. But
Yeah. You know?
They switched it up.
The saying back when we played was there's no holidays in football season.
There isn't.
You work. I mean,
well, maybe if they hadn't taken Thanksgiving off, they would have won the game.
Oh, breaking news.
See,
breaking
I see where you're going with that, Pete. I knew that was going.
You know me. I'll
go
in,
say
I'll
something
go
real quick. Hey, Dave, stop eating all the ribs. We have ribs in here, and
it's
we got
great.
Dave
it's
eating
nice.
All the ribs.
Where did you get ribs from?
Hollywood stole them from the coaches.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a scene in here right now.
It's a weekly thing.
All right, this defense gave up.
Big Dave's eating all of them.
Gave up 27 points. A team that was giving up 14.1 a game coming in gave up 27.
Yeah, before we get to that, we need to say one more thing, too.
What?
Our good friend Joe Fortunato's not with us tonight.
Right. I was going to get to that coming up. Can we stay on topic at some point?
I texted Joe, and I didn't know that.
He's out.
He's not here tonight. No, Scott Kushner is here tonight.
We love having Kush here. He produces for us. He does the engineering for on game day. It's great having him here, but I'm disappointed in Joe, though. Most guys play hurt during the season. Yeah, obviously, he's not very tough.
He's out with a leg.
Yeah. Kush, what happened?
What happened to him?
Well, we went to Arizona.
Oh, gosh.
And,
let's
make
this quick because we don't really care that much.
One of us picked up chairs that they shouldn't have.
Oh, he's
tweaked a little something.
He's weak.
But we only have one voice in terms of injuries. So if Coach wants to make the comment on Wednesday, we'll address it then.
Okay, we'll wait then.
That's a good point.
We'll make the injury report.
It's a fine.
Scott, he's not that important that Marrone needs to address it. So let's
Don't talk about the boss like that, Pete.
Nah.
It's true.
Just tell him, Tony. What's the injury?
It's a back foot. I don't know. He's soft. It's really, we don't, I don't, I mean, we don't want a HIPAA violation either.
No, we don't. Can we talk about defense now? Is that okay? Is that allowed, Tony?
I cleared the plate of what I wanted
to get. Thank you. The plate is cleared. So 27 points from a defense that had allowed 14.1 per game, the best in the league. Still is the best in the league even after yesterday, but a little uncharacteristic. Some yardage given up, the couple of blown plays that you talked about there. But then on the other side of it, they had takeaways in the fourth quarter. The strip sack, the fumble return for a touchdown, incredible finish for Calais Campbell there in his old stadium.
Interception by Barry Church.
Interception by Church was a great play.
We had two drop picks, too. Our hands on two picks. I wouldn't say they were drops, but yeah. Aaron Colvin had his hands on one early, and Tashawn Gibson jumped a route and had his hands on one as well. Could have had two more easily.
So it's good and it's bad combined yesterday for defense. Overall, what do you take away from it?
I hate to say this, but it was bad overall. And the reason I say that is this team can't win with the defense giving up that many points. Right. I'm not saying it's fair. I mean, and you set a standard as high as they have, then
better maintain it.
That's what you're judged upon.
Tony, were they not getting off blocks?
The pass rush was surprising to me. I thought Ngakoue would have a big day against Valdir, who had to go to left tackle after DJ Humphries got hurt a couple weeks ago, and he got no pressure even. And the only one who inside Calais and Malik Jackson got some pressure here and there, and forced some stuff. But I mean, they just didn't hit Blaine at all, or very little. And then their run defense was okay. I thought some guy. Missed tackles, guys not coming up, playing physical at times from the secondary. It was not the defense we've seen, that's for sure. So
didn't they have some three-man rushes in some critical situations, too? It looked like on TV. I couldn't tell.
Only one I remember, Pete. Only one.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And it was one that Blaine ended up scrambling out and getting the first down with his legs. So it was just – but if this team wants to win – their defense has to be great. I will say it again. We have scored 6 offensive touchdowns in 5 games. 6. That's not a lot.
No, it's not.
Tony, if you were the defensive coordinator, wouldn't you have played Gabbert the way the Arizona played Bortles?
In what sense?
Attack him a lot. Blitz him.
They did. First 3rd and 9, they went 0 coverage, all-out blitz, and Barry Church got burned on the line of scrimmage by the now all-pro tight end, Ricky Seals-Jones.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just saying they did.
Situations.
Pete, first third and long, they went all-out, 0 coverage,
well,
no center face.
They didn't do it enough.
Well,
I don't think they did it. I don't think they attacked them enough.
Okay.
Arizona did it. Well, let's put it this way. Well,
Arizona did it every snap.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I do that to Blaine Gabbert too. I think Blaine Gabbert.
No, but here's the difference. It's not doing it to the quarterback. Is guess what? The Cardinals would not have blitzed as much if you had an answer early in that game. You know that, Pete. If you block the blitz early and you gash them on the blitz, guess what? Teams don't do anymore. They don't blitz. Defensive coordinators are human beings that you stop it and you gash them like the Cardinals did early against the Jaguars on the first 3rd down. They hit. The all-pro Ricky Seals-Jones, who no one's ever heard of until yesterday. And we still blitz, but maybe not as much. We're not a high blitzing team anyway, so that doesn't matter. The Cardinals, on the other hand, blitzed every 3rd and long situation, and we never picked it up, and they continued to blitz and blitz in 2nd and long, 3rd and long, and they blitzed and they blitzed. And you know, guess what else they did? They blitzed more, and then they ran run blitzes, and we never, ever blocked it. So guess what?
Okay.
That's what they're going to do.
All right, I'm going to take you inside the huddle and standing at the line of scrimmage. Who's responsible for that? Is it Blake to identify and get the ball out, slide protections? Is it the center? Who's responsible?
Well, it starts during the week, the preparation of understanding what you're going to face. And so I'm sure they worked on it. And then once you get up there, it's getting on the same page. You ID the mic, quarterback and center do that, and then the quarterback sets the protection. If he wants to change it, if he sees things, there's usually IDs, and you can recognize where guys are coming from based on coverage and alignment and film study and everything else, and you redirect it. If you're struggling to pick it up, you bring an extra guy in, and instead of going six-man protections, you go seven-man protections.
But it wasn't getting whipped. It was more misidentified. Both. Right?
There was some getting whipped and some just not blocking guys. It was all of the above.
All of the above is not a good result.
No. How many yards offense did we end up having? 214?
Yeah. Not good. Not good. Let's come back, and we'll get into a little bit of the special teams.
Special teams. A little bit of a positive. Talk about that.
Kickoff return. It was nice. And some other things. What else would you like to talk about?
How about our punt coverage? How was that?
We'll cover that when we come back. How about that?
No, but the kickoff return was nice. Great job by.
We'll talk. Hold that thought.
Here, give me that. I want to read it. Then I'm going to keep on talking, and you're not going to be able to do it.
So Jack Horner's return to Everbank Field December 3rd to host the Indianapolis Colts, the start of a three-game homestand to crank up the playoff push. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000.
Go buy your tickets is the message for the playoffs. We're still making the playoffs. You heard it here first.
Is it a lock?
That doesn't work well.
Not a lock?
No lock. Locks are bad.
It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Yeah, it was tough. Nobody planned on this. Nobody, had this in mind when we were going through preparation throughout the week. So it's definitely shocking. It's not the way we wanted to come out and play. But there's going to be games like that where you're not going to be able to do certain things, and you got to find ways to win. You got to find ways to make plays. Defense did a good job giving us a chance. We got a big return from Corey on special teams. So you just got to find ways to win. You got to try and eliminate mistakes as much as possible and kind of manufacture a win there, and we weren't able to do that.
That's Blake Bortles, of course, in the post game yesterday. Jaguars Monday.
I give him credit there.
That's Tony Boselli.
In the sense of
Pete Prisco's in South Florida. I'm JP Shadrick.
Go ahead. They were terrible. Give me the stats real quick.
What?
I want to see the game stats. You got them in your
the
right
book?
Hand.
The book? Here, right here.
Oh. And they were not very good, obviously. We've talked about that. And that's what I love about Blake, though. He's like, listen, you got to find a way to get it done if it's not going right, and you figure it out. And you look at this offensive statistics. So he had 62 yards rushing, and he had 162 yards passing.
Mm-hmm.
So what's that? It's 222. We'll take away – we'll give him the sack yardage. We'll take the sack yardage away from that 222. So that's 190. The rest of the offense had – 190, 24 yards that he was not directly responsible for. I'm sorry, 29 yards. They had 219 yards.
Yeah, 29 rushing yards, right.
He had 100.
By the running backs.
He had 190 yards. Everyone else had 29.
It's not good. Pete, are you with us?
Did Pete leave?
Pete might have helped us again. I don't know. We had that issue last week. How about this? Fourth quarter passing leaders in the league. Blake was not the best in the league. He was far from the best in the league in the fourth quarter entering the game. It got a little worse with that fourth quarter interception. He's now got one touchdown, four picks in the fourth quarter this year, 55.7 rating in the fourth quarter, 39th in the league.
39th. There's only 32
out of 41.
That's not good.
Quarterbacks who qualify.
Well, I think here's the troubling thing that people – it's been brought up to me several times since yesterday – and we might have talked about it on the broadcast, but in the last two games with the game on the line where we needed plays to be made offensively, which would be San Diego and Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, sure.
Not San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers and Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Three interceptions.
Yeah, that's not good. And some bad ones. The ones in the Chargers game.
Well, and almost four, pick six.
Oof.
So, but in crunch time, three interceptions when plays had to be made. It's tough. I mean, that's where you need your guy to show up and do something. And again, I'm not going to put it all on him. Now, the interception, I think, was a late throw. I didn't like the play call, but it was a late throw, and meaning it ends up being a bad decision.
The Honey Badger's kind of hidden. He's a shorter guy.
Okay, but even if he doesn't get it, Teron Williams is getting it.
Right.
The two Los Angeles Chargers are bad decisions. They're under pressure, throwing it up, bad decisions. Now, are there plays that can happen during the game, maybe help him out, like guys not dropping the ball?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But when it comes to the end, this league's made up of guys making plays at the end of the game at the quarterback position.
Ben Roethlisberger last night, by the way. I don't know if you saw it. You were on a plane, but
JP, you knew. What do you mean? You don't know if I saw it or not. What was I doing last night?
You're flying.
I was flying.
That's what I'm saying. I said that. What are you talking about? I said you were flying. You didn't see it. That's what I just said.
You started off saying you should have seen it.
You should have seen it.
You
should have seen it. I'm just telling you, it was unbelievable. Goes right down the field. Great catch by Brown. The whole thing. That's what those guys do.
So that's. I mean, that's.
And what. But he's never done that, though. He's never been that
Am
in his
I back?
Career. You're back, Pete.
Yet?
Yes, welcome back, Pete.
All right. Tony, don't you have Wi-Fi on those planes? You can't watch the game?
We don't.
No.
No huh? Wi-Fi.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't. What do I look like? The head of the airline?
You know everything else, Tony.
Well, sure. I don't know why.
I mean, come on.
We are in a chartered flight.
You're the face of the franchise. You're the man of the franchise.
We
you
are
should
in
know
a
everything.
Chartered
we demand,
flight.
We're going to have an in-depth interview with Hamza.
Which,
see.
By the way, is very nice charter. And it's made up of mostly first-class seats, which I have one. It almost
shocking.
Lays down three-quarters of the way. Mm. Movies. So I have nothing to complain about. The only thing that it does not have is Wi-Fi. It's fine.
But you are still complaining about being tired today.
I couldn't sleep. I worked on the way home. Mm. Watched film. Mm-hmm. And then I tried to sleep.
Hey, Tony.
And I couldn't. So
was
I
the best
movie.
Guard in the game Earl Watford?
No. No. No, Pete. No. No. No.
He's better than the Jaguars' two guards, wasn't he?
No. He's no.
He didn't play better than those two.
No. Did you watch Calais Campbell just run through him and hit Gabbert?
Yeah.
Okay. So shut up.
But the other two guys, the Jaguars' offensive linemen didn't play that well.
None of them did. How about that? None of them.
All right.
Hey, how about we come back and see how poorly they played with the PFF grades?
PFF grades are going to be bad.
Pro football focus.
I would bet there's not one positive in offense.
I don't know. I have to look, but you probably are right.
I bet you not.
We'll dig it out when we come back.
Maybe Linder, but I bet you not. Linder played fine.
We've also got to get the Tony Vaselli Twitter question of the night.
Oh,
the phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1,
355-6351.
Tony is primed and ready tonight for all of that. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Second hour underway, Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shatter, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco. Jags fall in Arizona 27-24. Your calls coming up, 355-NFL-1. Phone lines are open. We'll get to irritate Tony Vaselli in this segment with the pro football focus grades from the game. We'll get to the Tony Vaselli Twitter question of the night coming up shortly.
The one thing I saw somewhere, I couldn't find it on Twitter,
yeah,
that someone tweeted, and Pete, you probably know this, that Blake did not complete one pass over 10 yards.
Over 10 yards, yeah.
That's not good.
And that goes back to my whole theory on you got to take some. I mean, he took a couple of shots and there was, you know, chances, but you got to back people off, Tony. You can't play this way and win. Expect to win. You just can't. It's not going to happen. The margin for error is so slim, and you saw it yesterday.
Well, we just talked about it, Pete. If they don't get more production out of their offense, they can win every game and they can lose every game, and every game will be tight in the fourth quarter.
They miss Allen Hurns a little bit. A little reliability out there. It's, you know, he's done it for a few years.
I don't think they have any. I think it comes down to more than anything. I don't think the coaching staff has any confidence in the pass game.
And that's not just Blake. That's receivers and everything.
Yeah, everything. I just don't think they have any confidence.
Protection, receivers,
all
the whole deal.
Yeah.
I think they have zero confidence. And if it was up to them, they'd run the ball every down and play defense.
Well, Doug Marone said as much before the season, by the way, remember? He said we'd run it 70 times a game.
No, it's not, Pete. I'm just saying that's how they feel.
But if they were running the ball like they were at one point this season, then you could almost get away with it, but they're not running the ball either.
Well, I agree. I'm agreeing with you, by the way. I don't think it's sustainable because this.
What would you do?
Teams are too good in this league, and they'll just stack the box.
What would you do?
I would get my 11 personnel, and I would do some check with me at the line of scrimmage. And I would say if we get single high and they stack the box, we are throwing the balls, boy. I mean, we're throwing the ball down the field, boys.
Yep.
That's what I do.
I agree with you.
And I would, if I needed to help my receivers get off the ball, I'd motion them.
I'd bunch them.
I would do different. I would cross. I would do different levels down the field. I'd work the middle of the field.
Too many ISO routes. Too many ISO routes.
And by the way, I'd work comebacks on the outside. If you're gonna get a single high safety look, three deep, run comebacks. Run deep comebacks. Run some digs. Run some over routes. I would get up at the line of scrimmage, and I would tell Blake, count the number of guys in the box, and if there's seven, we're throwing it. And here's your options. If there's six, we'll run it. And that's what I do a lot of.
Does he have the freedom to do that?
I don't know. You ask me what I would do.
Count to seven.
No,
he can't count to seven, Pete. What are you talking about?
No. Does he have the freedom to come to the line of scrimmage to decide?
I don't know what that freedom is. But that's what I would do.
Well,
and then I'd still get in my big personnel and I'd run it, and then I would have some tendency breakers, beater, and I would break tendency. I'd start getting some different looks. I'd get some ISO routes when I did that outside because they're stacking the box. I'm going to get one-on-one outside. I challenge my receivers, go beat somebody.
I'd do some
play action pass off that stuff, but I would, more than anything, the one thing I would do is I'd get an 11, and I'd say, we're going run pass, check with me is the line of scrimmage. Here we go.
I would agree with you 100%. And the other thing, too, Tony, is look, all they have to do to really get – look across the field. Now, Bruce Arians probably takes it to an extreme.
Yeah, he throws the ball down the field now.
And he throws it too much probably in a lot of situations. But take some – they made Blaine a little comfortable yesterday because they gave him chances to go and play, you know? And when a quarterback becomes comfortable, he plays better. When you put him in obvious passing situations and you think you're a power running team and you can't run the ball, then the quarterback is going to fail. He will fail. And the great ones will get over that. The average ones, and clearly Blake is that to below average, then he's not going to get past it. He can't overcome it. He's not good enough. So they got to do something to get some sort of creativity on first and second down to – and then, you know, again, I go back to the opening series. I could have called it from my chair. Run, screen, punt. Predictable.
All right, let's do PFF grades.
Pro Football Focus grades, really just to irritate Tony. Each week we see what they score off the TV tape. Pete, what do you got?
Okay, we'll start on the offense. There is one guy, one, in the green.
On the offense.
I'd say Linder.
No. But his grade isn't a negative. He's a positive, but he's not in a green. One guy in a green. You just saw him running a crossing pattern, making a guy miss.
Westbrook.
Cole.
Okay, Keelan Cole.
Okay. Even though...
He had 7 targets, 2 catches.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Well, I don't know.
Everybody else... Pete, should he have caught that deep ball? Shouldn't he have?
I agree. I said it when I saw it. I thought he should have caught it. The biggest negative, Tony, on the offensive side of the ball is who?
Cam Robinson.
He's not.
AJ Cam.
Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah, he had a rough day. Hmm. Yeah.
Then it goes Mercedes Lewis, then Blake Bortles, then Leonard Fournette. Mm. Then Chris Ivory probably gets pinged for his...
Well, he had one carry, one fumble. That's not going to work out.
Minus 6 yards. Yeah. Right.
Then
that's really not a fair fight.
Nope.
No. Then A.J. Cann, then Cam Robinson, and Marquise Lee. All bad. Cam Robinson and Chris Reed, giant minuses in pass protection for both.
They couldn't pick up the games at all. They struggled. Chris Reed, if it was 1-on-1, he did fine. But when they had games over there, it was a disaster. I would say order of worst grades on the offensive line, A.J., Cam, Reed, Wells, Linder.
Linder was the best. Reed was the second worst. Cam was – Robinson was third worst.
Okay, I missed those two.
Wells. Why don't they play Shatley at center and play Linder at guard?
Because they made a decision in the offseason that Linder is their center.
They did it one game, remember?
No, they did because of injuries.
No. Linder came back from this illness and played right guard.
Because of injuries.
Shatley played center.
Because of injuries, because A.J. Cann was out. He had a torn tricep.
They got an injury at left guard. They got an injury at left guard.
That's why he was out, idiot.
I know. I get it. We'll put him
back. You acted like I said so because what? Of injury. You said, no.
Is it
no?
Is it better than Can?
Well, the way he's playing right now, maybe.
Thank you.
But that's not my point.
Yeah,
but you said it wrong. Just admit you were wrong.
I'm saying before they played
wrong.
Before,
just admit
I might
wrong.
Have been wrong.
Okay, thank
well,
you.
Well, Tony, they could have put him at – they could have put somebody at left guard or Linder at left guard if you had to.
They didn't want – well, I don't think – I think they're more comfortable with Linder at right guard if they're going to do it. The answer I get the question on Twitter. It's a fair question. It's a very fair question. Are they better with Linder at guard and Shatley at center? It's hard to argue based on we saw the small sample size. But you also could argue when their best offensive line is Robinson, Omame, Linder, Can, Parnell. Because that's when – I mean, consistently that's when we've seen the best play. Mm-hmm. Now – is your second bet, if one of those guards is hurt, are you better off with Shatley at center than Reed at guard? Or maybe Can. Can did not play well yesterday.
And he was coming off his best game the week before.
He did play well the week before. But guess what? None of those combinations is going to make Cam Robinson play better.
No, he's got to play better. He's
got to play better.
Mm. I mean, according to PFF, by the way, Cam Robinson hasn't had a positive grade yet this year.
Yeah, I would disagree with that now. That's not true.
What was his worst game, Tony? Because they graded him against the Chargers as the worst.
He was bad.
And then against Cleveland, he was bad. They said he was bad.
The last three, he's had hard days.
Oh, yeah.
Last three.
All right, let's go to defense. Okay, there are a lot of green on defense.
Calais Campbell.
Highest graded one.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. I thought Puz played very well when he had to come in. Really did. Doug talked about it.
He got a positive grade.
Yeah. AJ Boye, I thought, played very well.
Positive grade.
Barry Church.
I don't think. See.
Negative.
I agree. Really? I think he had some MAs. He got beat early, and I think some of those MAs are in him.
Okay.
And he got beat in one-on-one coverage. I don't think.
Here,
I don't. Biggest. How about this? How about Ramsey's grade in the run? I bet you had to be a huge negative.
3 point. It was barely. It was zero. He didn't get anything in it. He got 0.2, so zero, almost nothing. But he got a big positive grade in pass coverage.
Yeah, he was very good in pass. He always. I thought his run game was. I don't think he was very physical coming up to make tackles.
I'll give you two guys that had major negatives.
Yeah, three guys actually.
Ngakoue. No, did not. He gave him a positive.
He didn't do much.
Darius? He got blocked, Tony? Marcel Darius? He played 38 snaps.
Yeah, he's not on the stat sheet at all.
He got minus in the run game in a big way. Was he not the same player? I haven't watched the tape.
Yeah,
so.
I don't think he played. He did not stand out like he had in the past.
And
but
Fowler.
I wouldn't have said a huge minus, though.
And Fowler, big negative.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that either.
And then Miles Jack got a negative.
They had all the back half was all out of sorts. When I say back half, linebacker safeties, they were not on the same page of who was covering.
Which is weird because those guys had played pretty well together this year.
That's crazy. It happened after Telvin went out. Maybe with no Telvin in there, they were just maybe Telvin's a bigger issue, bigger part of that whole deal.
When did you guys go out last week? When did you fly out there?
Saturday.
No, haven't they gone out earlier at times?
Nope.
No,
in years past.
Yeah, years past, but not – Tom never did. Tom did one time in 95. He never did it again.
Yeah, and when did he do that? That was Oakland?
Oakland, 95.
Yeah, that was when the toilets broke at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. You guys had no shower.
No
remember
shower.
That?
No shower. Yeah. Long God, flight plane home, no shower.
That plane must have stunk. Oh, my God.
There was cold. There was frigid cold water, so I got it and rinsed off, but there was no hot water. Not even lukewarm water.
You know what I remember about that game? Leon giving me crap in the locker room.
That was 96. I'm sorry. 96, not 95. 96.
Yeah. Leon giving me crap in the locker room after the game. We don't care about your damn grades, Pete. He started yelling at me.
Love Leon. All right, let's come back. Call.
We'll get one call in. Right, one just call. Get us rolling tonight. We're going to get us going. 355-NFL-1 is the number. We'll go to East Arlington and say good evening to Tommy, who's on the air. What's up?
Hey, JP, what's going on?
Oh, you know, hanging out. How are you?
Tony, Pete. Hey, guys, what's going on? Hey,
what's
quick
up?
Question for you guys.
Well, ask.
You guys there?
Go for it, please.
Hey, you guys are good times. Hey, Tony, take it easy on Pete, man. He's
Just ask the question already. I mean, I'm tired. I got 3.5 hours of sleep. We lost. And I don't want to hear you take it easy on Pete. Just ask the question so we can move on.
All right. You just touched on it a minute ago, but I want to know what you think the impact on Telvin Smith getting the concussion and having to leaving the game had on the ending. I think he's pretty much our defense foundation, and I think he's a bigger piece than a lot of people recognize. Right. I think I don't know if it was Blair that took his spot or who it was.
It was Blair.
Yeah, I saw a couple missed tackles, and I felt like the defense was off the second he left the field.
So the defense obviously is going to be affected if you lose one of your best players, and Telvin Smith is one of their best players.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were Excuse me?
He's the best defensive player, I think.
I don't think he is the best defensive player. I think Jalen Ramsey, yeah, at corner, would argue with you on that, first and foremost.
Calais Campbell's pretty good up front.
I think Calais Campbell's having a pretty impactful year. Anik Ngakoue has 10 forced fumbles in under 2 years as a pro. So, I mean, Telvin's very good. But to say he's by far the best, I wouldn't go that far. He's very good. So, surprisingly, I don't think it hurt them from – he's the emotional leader. He brings the energy, and his speed
right. Is
so important. I thought Puz did a great job coming in on nickel. I really did. Now, he's not as effective as Telvin because he can't run like Telvin, but I don't think it was a huge, major issue. I thought the issue was in base personnel when Blair Brown had come in, and you saw a bigger drop-off there of making plays. The quickness with which Telvin plays to eat up the run game – was not there with Blair Brown. And then obviously the first touchdown they scored was direct correlation of not having Telvin on the field because they couldn't get lined up. And so, yes, it hurts when you lose one of your best players on the football team. And Telvin Smith is one of the best players on this football team.
Hey, Pete, who's the best defensive player on the football team?
Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, I mean, it's
easy.
It's not close.
It's pretty easy.
Calais Campbell's number two, and then Telvin.
Pete, I'm going to let him.
Tony begging. He wants to do a read. Please tell me that's the Audi.
How do you say it?
It is the. How do you say it? Audi. Thank you very much.
Go for it then.
Check out Jack Hannity as Audi, Jacksonville and Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. What a deal! You need to head over there right now, today, for details.
That's not in the script. The last part.
I know it's better.
It's not an ad lib.
It's better.
Read the card. You don't ad lib.
New A3 from just $229. Head over there right now. Today, it's important. Nothing beats it. Jack Hanania, Audi, Blanding,
F. Let's go. You get an F grade. F.
Shut up, Pete. You're an F.
You failed. You failed on life.
Wow.
That's it. I'm supporting Steve Hutchinson.
You're the best, Pete. I love you.
Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Yeah, I mean, it feels weird. We had we controlled our own destiny there for a second. Now, with this loss, you know, back into that whole, you know, it's going to come down to that last game feel, which, you know, we got to just control our destiny from the jump, but, got to see what happened on film and get better.
Barry Church, the Jags' safety. In theory, the Jags do still control their own destiny because it's a tie, and you go to Tennessee, you win the games.
Yeah.
That's it.
Control their own destiny perfectly.
Win the games, and there you have it. Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Maselli, Pete Prisco. Your calls, 355-NFL1 is the number. Let's go to the phone lines. Pete, are you ready to irritate Tony tonight? We can...
We just irritated him.
Yeah.
By the way, Tony, Steve Hutchinson went to my high school, by the way.
Did he really? Steve's a great guy. Yeah. But have you met him?
I love him. Love him. He's a scout now for the Titans. Did you know that?
Is he really? He's a great guy.
Yeah. I told him it's nice to be the second best lineman from our school.
You're the best?
Oh, yeah.
Let's start off with...
You both might get in this year.
I don't know if
Did you see Gil Brandt's thing the other day?
Yeah.
He had you both in.
I don't know if you're going to get two. And he also, but he didn't have Ray Lewis in. I think that was.
No, he didn't have.
Or he didn't have Urlacher in.
Yeah, I don't think Urlacher's getting in on the first ballot.
And he didn't have Randy Moss in.
That's the one, because they might, you know how they work, Tony. They might hold it against him like they did T.O. Put T.O. in this year and get Moss in next year.
Yeah, who knows? Mm. There's a long way to go for all that.
Let's
start the campaign.
Yeah, the campaign. Yeah, we got to get the campaign rolling.
Well, maybe you should do something.
Tony Bo has to go.
That could mean a lot of things, Pete.
Yeah, well.
All right, let's take some calls.
Let's do it. Whatever you say, Tony. Let's go to the north side and say good evening to Mac on the line. What's up? Mac, you're on the air. What's
hey,
up?
Mac, turn your radio off. Let's go.
Okay, fellas. Keith Crispo. What's yes. going on?
Oh, gosh.
Here I'm good.
You know I'm I'm a big fan of the Pete Crispo show back in the days, dog. What's up, Pete?
Hey, Mac, no one cares.
He's a smart man.
Just ask the question. No one cares about Pete Crispo show. It's been off the air for 3 years. It got canceled.
I got another one. I got another one. Bear with me here. Tony Baselli, thank you for the weight loss.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Tony, for your weight loss. We appreciate it. We all appreciate it.
I've lost weight because of Tony Baselli.
That's right, Mac. Tell him.
Oh, okay.
So, Mac, we got limited time.
You went to see Dr. TPS.
Okay. This game is a mirror image of the Jets game. We were out of the game, and the defense brought us back in it, and the offense lost it for us.
The only difference in this, I think you're right. There's a lot of parallels there, Mac. The difference, though, is once the Jaguars got the lead, they took the lead because the defense scored. And the defense couldn't hold on to that lead. They gave up the big play to Blaine Gabbert on the deep pass. So that was the – I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was sitting in the booth, and when Calais Campbell scored and it was 17-16, I was like, the game's over. It is over. I didn't think there was a chance, and you know what the Cardinals were going to score. And they came down on that series and put up seven more. I was like, oh, my gosh, here we go. And went for two and made it. So I would disagree with you a little bit there. That's the one difference, but the feel of it was similar. Pete, didn't you think it was over after they got that strip sack fumble recover?
I did. I didn't think Gabbert would.
I thought
come
they
back
had no that. Chance.
Yeah, and that's why that sequence and then the one at the end of the game. That's why the defense didn't play its normal game on Sunday.
I would agree.
Normally, they close that out. They close it out. It's game's over. The 2000 Ravens would have closed it out.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
can't argue with it.
Trevor is in Missouri. Trevor, good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, good evening, guys.
Cape Girardeau, right?
Cape Girardeau, Missouri. It's my favorite hangout. The Stallions, right? Central Missouri State Stallions?
Well, I don't know where those are. We're the Red Hawks.
Oh, Red Hawks.
Red Hawks. Same thing. Close. They're both animals.
Yeah, Red Hawks, Stallions. Yeah.
He wasn't even in the vicinity.
He wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Mighty Redhawks. Oh, well. Love the Redhawks.
What's up, man?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to talk about, I know you guys mentioned earlier about the play calling, and I kind of agreed with Pete earlier about how, like, it just seems like a lot of games this year, our offense has been kind of predictable, and I just not sure what maybe we can do and how to fix that, because, like, I just kind of figure, like, if we have offensive linemen out with injuries and we're not able to be that power run offense, like, do you think maybe, like, they can kind of change up the game plan to be more pass heavy just for that, since that we kind of have offensive lineman injuries? Or I didn't know what you guys thought about that.
Well, let me say this. First of all, this whole thing about being predictable that Pete loves to do, he's been doing that since 1995, by the way, using that predictable line. You want to know when offenses are predictable? When they don't work. Offenses that work have never been called predictable. Not once. Never. They're innovative. You could have run the same three plays, gone run, screen, and scored a touchdown on those three plays, and it would have been like,
he would have loved it.
Woo! Nathaniel Hackett is an innovator. Genius. He is genius.
But hire this man.
So it didn't work, and now he's predictable. So that's the first thing about that. Secondly, I'm not sure they have the personnel to open it up and throw it around. I think they need to do it more, but what you're alluding to, I don't think they can do it. I mean, I just don't think that's how they're built. I'll go back to what I said. I think they need to do some more run-pass check with me's at the line of scrimmage and try to get people out of the stacking the box situation. But you still have to be about the most out of balance you want to get would be 55 pass, 45% run. I mean, you don't want to go too – I don't even think this team can go 60-40 pass run.
Yeah, but Tony, you give me crap about the predictability stuff.
Yeah.
You didn't see the first series. Come on, the first series wasn't as predictable.
Oh, I don't think it was the most innovative play calling I've ever seen. No.
Okay, then you're just changing the description of it.
Especially when the on the front side there was a linebacker unblocked sitting there waiting to make a tackle. Or safety who stepped down, either one, whatever one you want.
Again,
to do.
I go back to my theory on the bunch formations and the picks.
You
and the
love
rubs
the bunch.
Well, yeah, because that's how you scheme guys open. If you can't win in ISO routes and they clearly don't win running the routes they run all the time or frequently enough, then you got to do something to get creative to get them open.
That's fair enough. I can't argue. It's like when you say bunch because you really don't know what you're talking about, but you just use those terms.
I know exactly what I'm talking about.
I don't think you could draw up a bunch formation and give me routes out of that combination of routes.
You know what? Draw one up on a piece of paper and put it up to the screen right now, Pete.
I want you to draw a formation, Pete, and a route concept out of bunch and show it to us.
Here, I got something for you.
On Jaguars.com.
It's hiding behind the paper.
I love it.
I wouldn't dare put that up on the thing.
There's your bunch formation.
You're number one, Pete. Thank you. You're number one.
Right. Let's go to Nashville, Tennessee. Music City, USA. John is on the line. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great. How are you?
Doing well. You know, there's a lot of negativity going on right now with the loss. I just wanted to get your thoughts on a positive note. Everybody talks about, like, defensive MVP is probably going to be Calais Campbell, and that's very true and everything. But if you were to take away two or three of the more well-known players on offense and defense, who do you think the MVP is? So on defense, you could take away Campbell, Jalen Ramsey, and Yannick Ngakoue. And then
you just mentioned the three guys who are up for the.
I think that's, he's trying to make it harder.
Okay, AJ Boye.
Okay, right on. Way to go, Tony.
Thank you.
What about offense? Take away Brendan Linder and take away Fournette, and that's really what I'm thinking.
Gene Fournette, he's on the team.
Yeah,
Leonard Fournette and Brendan.
Yeah, okay, he said Fournette first.
He's in
Fournette,
Nashville.
Yeah.
He doesn't know who Gene is.
Oh, that's a good point.
Take those two guys away, then who is the MVP? It's a great question.
Jeremy Parnell.
Yeah,
I mean,
they haven't run without
I'll
him.
Let me be very frank with you. What's your name? Travis? Trevor?
John.
Close, Tony. Close.
It's not even close either.
This is
Red Hawks, Tigers.
I really don't like your question because usually you pick an MVP from the best players, not from the guys who aren't the best players.
This is more unsung heroes.
Okay.
You know, the guys that no one's really going to talk about on the NFL Network or ESPN.
Okay, we just talked about them, so we're set. It's great. I mean,
you're crushing this guy's
brain. I don't know what you want. I mean, what are you looking for?
He wants the next guy on the offense beside the first two he named. And so,
never thought I would say thank you, Pete Prisco.
Okay, Pete, give it.
Well, you know, it's hard to get through that thick skull sometimes with him.
I get it, but I understand what he's doing. But I think it's nonsensical and like an unimportant question. How about that?
Well, he's trying to make a point that there isn't very many valuable players on that side of the ball. Is that your point?
Yeah.
Okay, then say that.
Well, dang, dude, I'm trying to be real nice about it.
Okay,
don't be nice. Just say
negative right now.
We believe. Well, you're okay. You started the call about saying, oh, "Well, I don't want to be negative," and then you become like one of the most negative people on the whole show so far. And you just do it in a roundabout way. It's not very. Be direct.
You turned him negative, Tony. You turned him negative.
Yeah, he was fine until you started talking back to him, Tony. He turned salty. That's on you.
But if you had to rank the third best player
on you, Tony.
Okay, I'll take it.
If you rank the third best player on offense, it would probably be Marquise Lee.
Ooh,
I would say Jeremy Parnell before he got hurt.
Parnell,
but he hasn't played
though. Robinson.
Cam has not played well for 3 weeks.
No, not lately. Mercedes has, six touchdowns?
And Mercedes didn't have a great day.
That's a tough
one. Anyways, that's all I wanted to know. Thanks for taking the call,
hey,
guys.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Have a good night, Dennis.
Are you going to come to the – hold on. You coming to the Titan game in Nashville?
Hey, man, the last three games I went to up here, we've lost really badly.
So you're staying home?
I'm honestly, like, I've got tickets. I just don't know if I'm going to go.
Sell them. If we haven't won since you've been there, sell them.
Dude, thank you for giving me that confidence, because I've been 50-50 about
it. Sell them. We can't handle your bad mojo in the stadium asking who, like, the fifth best player on offense is.
Good night, John.
Thanks for calling.
What is wrong with you, Pete Lee? Jeez.
No, I'm right here.
Okay.
What is wrong
with you? Let's go to the next caller. Let's go.
Let's take a timeout. We'll come back and continue the phone
calls. More calls tonight.
355-NFL-1 is the number. Tony's on a roll right now. Not
hot.
At all.
I'm hot.
All right. No, you're not. No. Hey. There's no read right here.
Oh.
No.
Dang it.
No. Sorry about it. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
We go through the week and we talk about all the time the game plan, and throughout the week in practice it's an audition for these plays for Nate to call them during the game. And we feel comfortable every Sunday going into it that we'll be able to run the ball, we'll be able to throw it, we'll be able to move it, score points, and be productive. But it just doesn't happen. You come out here and nothing's really working. It kind of goes back to what I said earlier. You got to find a way to make a play. Somebody's going to make a big one and try and win the game.
There's Blake Bortles, Jaguars quarterback. Audition the plays in practice that you're going to call in the game. But it didn't work out. Jags fall 27-24. The Arizona Cardinals, J.P. Shattuck, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Let's get to the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. We got a few more calls coming up as well, guys. This is from at BCB Couch. Do you guys still feel this team makes the playoffs if the offense doesn't get back on track? What do you think, Tony?
I think it's a coin flip. I would have said no-brainer before. But when you say the offense doesn't get them back on track, I mean, that means they're going to average one touchdown a game for the rest of the year?
Yeah, but you can almost beat the Colts and the Texans at home without the offense. Almost.
Yeah, almost. But, Pete, your margin for error is so slight.
I agree. But that you got to figure they get two and they get to 9-7. That gets them in. They'll make the playoffs if they don't.
9-7 gets you in?
Yeah. In the AFC, you have no chance to win a division, by the way, if they play this way. None.
I would say if the offense got no better, I would say I'd say they got an 85% of making the playoffs,
and they'd be a one and done.
And if the offense gets better, and we see what it did, it's the offense we saw more at the beginning of the year, with more production. I give them a 98% chance of winning the division.
Those are precise numbers.
Yes,
is that the algorithm thing?
Yeah,
you're
that's why it took me a little bit of time. I had to put them into my formula,
spit out
the results.
But Tony, you look at it, and you said 9-7 gets them in. I mean, think about it. Buffalo's now would be the sixth seed. They got two games with New England coming up. So
we'd be the five seed right now?
Yes.
Yeah, Jags are five. Yeah, right now. If it ended today, which it does not.
If it ended today, they would play the four seed, which would be the
Kansas
Chiefs,
City.
Right? Yeah.
The Chiefs aren't winning that division, by the way.
Mm. No, the Chargers are.
Right.
Who nobody wants to play.
It wouldn't be a popular choice.
Let's get a couple more phone calls.
They're going to have a playoff game in the StubHub Center with 30,000 people. What a joke. Great planning.
They might win the game, too. We'll get to your AFC and NFL power rankings coming up.
Do we have to?
As well. No, because you started it last week. A couple more phone calls. Let's go to Ogden, Utah, and say good evening to Logan. What's up, Logan?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great. Thanks for holding, man.
Hey, no problem. So I've got a question regarding the last throw to Blaine Gabbert through. I don't know who he tossed it to, but it's the one that set him up for the 57-yard field goal. And I believe it was Miles Jack.
Yes, it was. Miles Jack was encouraged. He
put hands on him. So let me ask you this. Why didn't Miles Jack fight him to the ground for that completion? Because the receiver has to survive the ground, correct?
Yeah, he did. He hammered it. He slips, and so he gets up, and as he's recovering, the ball is thrown way outside. And Foster does an amazing job to get 2 feet down and outstretch to catch the ball. And as he's doing that, Miles Jack hits him in the back.
Right, and so he gives him a rib shot. Was Miles Jack, do you think he was just anticipating that he was going to be out of bounds?
No, I think he did. What do you want him to do? I'm not following. What would you like him to do?
Because he just get a rib check on him. He didn't, like, try and tackle him. And then that's another question. Would that have drawn a foul?
He struggled to get even over there.
No,
he
fell. He was on the ground. He slipped on the turf. He was getting up, and he tried to hit him as hard as he could when he got there. So, okay. What's your next question, or is that it?
That was just it. I'm wondering if that's kind of a finesse thing of trying to knock the ball out.
No, finesse thing. There's nothing finesse about Miles Jack's game if you watch him. Nothing.
Mm-mm. Yeah, he reckless abandon, though.
Nothing finesse about Miles Jack.
No.
Zero.
He's coming at you. Thanks for the call tonight from Ogden, Utah.
Is it cold in Utah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. That's why I don't live there.
It's about 44 degrees right now.
Yeah, that's why I don't live there. That's why I live in Florida.
Thanks for the call.
Good choice.
All right, see you, man. Have a good one. Thanks for calling.
Bundle up in Ogden. Let's go to the south side, a little closer to home. George, what's up?
Hey, George,
you're on the air. George, turn your radio down and talk to us, please.
Yeah. That call was good, but it wasn't that good.
Do you realize the Jaguars are 9-2?
I think George is out of here.
Without the USC Trojans.
Say it
what
again.
What did he say?
George, say it again.
Say it. What did he say?
George, whatever you just said, say again, please.
Hello?
You're on the air. What's up?
Talk louder, first of all.
Tell me.
What, George?
I was just going to say you're my favorite player of all time, so Jaguars. But can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Can you please tell them to tell Marquise Lee to take his shoulder pads and helmet off in the third quarter? Because we'd be 9-2 if not for your USC Trojans.
He's not wrong, I guess, right? I mean,
what do you mean he's not wrong? They're 9-2?
Three games that Lee's like, he drops at the end of the game.
Okay, three?
Well, the Jets game.
Okay, wait a second. First,
they weren't winning. That drop
games.
Had no
two
bearing
games.
On the law. Come on.
The Jets game, yes, I give you. If we make a field goal.
Two games.
But you're Jason Myers was a little shaky. It's 50-50. But yes,
and
that
what was
one.
The other one?
And the San Diego game. No, there's no guarantee because just if he catches that, we still have to score a touchdown to end the game.
Okay.
But two big drops.
What about this one?
This one, it would have guaranteed you get the overtime.
And you don't know from there.
But
you're
the Jets
game. The Rams game.
Yeah,
Not the San Diego. Not the Los Angeles Chargers game. The Rams game.
Yeah, the Rams game. That's what I was. Did I say Chargers?
You said Chargers.
Sorry. Rams. Yeah. No, it wasn't the Rams. It was the Chargers game in overtime. He dropped it.
It was kind of like,
and they
one
stepped
of these,
kept on winning. The Rams game. Which one did he drop?
But he won that. They won that game.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Rams. Did he drop
this
one?
This is not a good thing when you have to go through them all, right?
Listen, Marquise Lee is third in the league in drops. I'm not going to defend him. I love him. He's an SC guy. He needs to catch the ball. Thanks, George.
Those damn SC guys.
Wasn't a great call, but great. Thank you.
Let's get one
did
more.
You see? I want to ask you this. Yeah. Did you guys?
George, it was a good question by George. We couldn't hear him.
Did you see the Twitter question about Keenan McCardell, Tony?
Yeah, I kind of skimmed through it because I was. Were they taking a shot at him?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
They said the receivers aren't getting better because of Keenan McCardell. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's dumb.
They said it was a nepotism hire by Tom.
I could get into more detail about why that is not even close to the truth, but I'll stay.
Please, let's go. We can
no.
What? Why not?
It just trust me. It had nothing to do with nepotism. He was hired because of the quality of Coach Adias. I'll leave it there.
Yes.
Okay.
And I have proof of that. But
and you know what,
to
Tony? When you see Cole run his routes and stuff, you start to see a little Keenan in him.
No, I do not, but that's okay.
I started seeing a little bit of
him. What do you mean by that, Pete?
First of all,
he doesn't have the hands that Keenan has.
No. I'm saying he's
Keenan
improved.
Keenan would go across the middle and catch it and never slow down. And Keenan was a fabulous route runner.
He was the best. Might have been the best ever. But I'm saying there are little bits and pieces of it you're starting to see it.
I would disagree.
Cole is far from a finished product.
I would disagree with you. But I think Keenan's doing a very good job. And I think Keenan Cole, for being an undrafted rookie free agent, has been a good find. And I think he has the potential to be a very good football player.
Let's get one final call tonight. Donovan on the north side. Donovan, you're on the air. Good evening.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you guys taking the call. Actually, I've been kind of looking forward and hoping that Tony would get down there and teach these boys on this offensive line how to actually block a guy to the woodshed. I'm actually looking at the game and watching AJ Cann whiff on that kickout block. And then even touchdown bootleg run with Blake, where he basically kind of just almost looked like he was clueless if he was going to block the defender
Donovan, let me go to before we get it too far down the road. The first one he did whiff on the – it was a counter play. He had the kick out against Chandler Jones, but it was a heck of a play by Chandler Jones.
A big game.
It was an awesome play. Yep. I'm not trying to make an excuse for A.J. Cant. He missed it. It's a minus in the books. But that was an amazing play by Chandler Jones. On the one that Blake scored, it was a run-pass option, and it's a hard play for that pulling guard because he doesn't know if Blake's going to run it or throw it, and he doesn't want to go downfield. So I think he got to the line of scrimmage not sure. Maybe it was too loud for Blake to say go or whatever, but that's no man's land a little bit. So I'm not, I mean, that can be tough as well, but go ahead. What's the rest of it? As you want to just kill AJ Cann, what else you want to say?
Well, I mean, I've watched throughout the whole season and, you know, his play to me has just been subpar. Now, granted,
it's been up and down.
My years of playing football, I've always been on the other side of the ball on the D line.
Do you say that because you're not very smart like most defensive players? Is that why you're telling us that you're on the other side of the ball?
No, I say that because I don't understand all of the full schemes of the kickout blocks and that.
Well, you know the smart guy.
You
know all the smart guys are on the offensive side.
I beg to differ. We've got Balaki as a quarterback.
Who?
That's got to be something
who's
between the ears on
Balaki?
That one there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's Balaki?
I don't know. Hey, thanks for the call.
Donovan, heck of a call to the end.
Appreciate
there.
Appreciate that, Donovan. Thank you.
That's where that kind of went down the tubes.
All right, let's wrap this segment with.
I'm not going to do this.
Why not? You brought it up last year. I know. AFC and NFL power rankings.
It was more fun when they were like top five. I can't.
You can do top five right now. Are the Jags in it? They're probably not in it right now. That's why you're saying that.
AFC would. I'll just do AFC. They're not in the top five of the NFL.
Hell
no. AFC. AFC is. Thanks, Pete, for agreeing with me. Patriots 1. Steelers 2.
Tennessee?
Right now, you would put the Chargers 3.
Mm, I mean, as far as the way the teams are playing, I think I go Chargers, Jags, Titans.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's probably how I go.
I have it Chargers, Titans, Jaguars.
Oh, so I'd flip the Jags and Titans.
Yeah.
Just because the Titans, I mean.
I can alternate
with
the week.
First of all, the Titans barely beat Indy yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean,
barely.
They're not good.
They're not good, but they did beat Jacksonville, so they have the same.
That was a long time ago.
I know. Well.
There's no reason to argue. That one will be decided New Year's Eve, which probably is going to get flexed, Pete. I bet you that game gets flexed.
It might.
There's no primetime game that week, though. It's only 4
o'clock.
No, there's not. On the schedule
New Year's Eve.
It's the last game.
It's not. That's right. It's not going
to
get flexed.
Yeah, it would get flexed to the 4 o'clock window if it did anything.
But usually on Sunday night, the last game of the year, they put a night game on NBC.
But it's a holiday this year.
But, Pete, I'm telling you right now, every
other
year.
They got the national champion. They got the playoff games.
Oh, maybe
college
that's
football
why.
Playoff games. Yeah.
Because usually they flex to NBC on the last game, the one game, and they don't announce it. They don't even schedule a game that week.
So, right. You normally, but if the game isn't usually on New Year's Eve in the college national
Are
playoff.
Are you sure there's no.
Yeah, I looked at it today. Yeah.
No, it won't. It's not on the schedule, JP.
No, there's no game schedule.
They don't just create a
flexing.
Schedule out of nowhere. No. Like,
they're not
going to
put
a game
on New Year's Eve opposite the college football playoff.
I'm happy,
they're
by
not.
The way, because my wife's coming to Nashville and we're going to spend New Year's Eve in. Nashville, I was worried about having a night game. I didn't want a night game.
By the way, that means that Jacksonville will probably play the whole season without being on national TV.
That's right.
Yeah, they're not,
the
getting,
Seattle game,
they're not getting
the Seattle game's
Seattle
not
game.
Getting flexed. No. So there's not going to be a game
well,
on
that's
national
not true.
TV this year.
Yes, there will be in the playoffs, baby. National TV.
You just said you're not sure they're going to make it.
I'm changing my mind.
You going to lock it?
No locks. I don't want to do that to the team.
We'll come back and go around the National Football League.
Are you going to have your Monday night voice coming up too?
We'll see when we come back.
I can't wait for that.
I want to hear the Monday Night Voice.
That's my favorite part of the whole show.
The JTA Game Day Express features 2 downtown locations along with rides from the north side, JTB and Phillips Highway, and the beaches. Buy your tickets now at jtafla.com. You can use it the next 3 Sundays here at Everbank Field. 3-game homestand starting this week against the Colts. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
About 10 minutes to go on Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shattuck, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. The Jags fell yesterday in Arizona, 27-24. A 57-yard field goal with 1 second to play.
Phil Dawson's been in the NFL for like 55 years, I think it is. Or 19.
Did you know that was good right when he hit it?
Yes.
It looked like it from
yes,
TV.
Yes, as soon as he hit it, like, it's in.
Yeah.
It would have been good from 62.
Yeah, he nailed it.
It hit the net. I think 19 years. I'm not a 55 years, but he's been in the league 19 years, I believe.
Time. We'll check it.
And his career long.
Yeah, 19th year.
Yeah, his career long up to that point was 56 yards. He hit his career long after 19 years of being in the
he's
NFL.
He's 42 years old.
It's unreal.
Mm. It's amazing. It's amazing. I thought it might end up being like the kick that Blair Walsh had a couple weeks ago that was like right down the middle and it came up about 10 yards short for Seattle. What was that last?
Yeah, Pete. I mean, it split the uprights and it made it through easily. It hit the back of the net.
Yeah.
See, I think for kickers in that situation, it's almost like a no, you know, if you miss it, you go to overtime.
Oh, it's like
no pressure.
Beat the
no
hell out
pressure.
Of it. Yeah, just
and no
it.
One's
yeah,
thinking
hard.
You're going to make a 57-yarder, so if you make it, you're here. If you don't, my God, who cares?
Right.
What does it matter?
Nothing to lose. Yeah. Just kick it as hard as I can.
It's like being on the driving range. Everybody's getting hit 300 yards down the middle.
I'm a
right?
good driving range player.
I bet you are.
I'm seriously, I could be on tour. If I could hit the ball on the golf course like I do on the driving range, I might win the Players' Championship.
Isn't that like most people?
That means you're a choker then when you get out on the course.
No, I'm just not that. I'm just, yeah.
You let guys
pressure.
You let guys like Ryan Robbins. You let guys like Ryan Robbins and get under your
skin.
That's
not it. You know what it is, Pete? When I'm on the course, like when I'm hitting on the driving range, I'm not worried about losing a ball or hitting it out of bounds or anything. So you just swing free. Then you get up like on a tight par four. You got out of bounds left and water right. And I'm thinking, oh,
right.
You know.
You choke.
I don't think it's choking. I just don't think I'm very good.
Yeah, you freeze. Choking. You freeze up. You get a little tight.
No, Pete, anytime tension. You want to play for money,
no.
I'm happy to play. No.
You play golf way too much for
Pete.
Your golf.
I've been played since the season
in
started.
In the summer, you play at
Pete,
least
anytime
three
you
want to
play. And by the
no.
way, I'll give you a stroke a hole.
Whoa!
Anytime you want to play.
Whoa!
For anything you
what
want,
you
I'll give you a
you
stroke
give
a hole.
What do you give Robinson?
Ryan's a man. He plays straight up.
He beats you sometimes too, doesn't he?
Not very. I think he's beat me like out of 100 rounds, like twice.
Yeah, I beat him a couple of different times, but I'm not good.
I don't pretend to be good. So anytime you want to play,
I'm not saying I'm good. I'm just saying you freeze up and you choke.
I don't choke. I exaggerate of how good I am on the driving range, but I don't choke.
Okay. Well, you said you freeze up because you got water on the right and on the left and
yeah.
trees.
No, I was going
yeah,
to.
You know what I would do?
Pete, I was going to.
I would play with you and I'd be. You'd come to the tee box and I'd go, look, Tony, there's a lot of,
water on this course. I don't know.
Here's the amazing thing. I was trying to like back up Pete's point of like it's different from the driving range of the course.
And it just went downhill.
And then he skewers
fast.
Me for it.
Let's go around the National Football League and start off with Thanksgiving games. The Vikings, the Chargers, and the Redskins all winners on Thursday. Yeah, the Chargers are surging all of a sudden, Pete.
Well, they're good. I mean, they got a franchise passer, and he was fantastic the other
and
day.
And he's getting better.
Pete,
he's getting better because he gets Keenan healthy. He's feeling better after the ACL reconstruction last year.
And you know what, Tony? That was as good a passing game as you'll see in a long time. I mean, he was comfortable. The offensive line's getting better.
They are, and I don't know why Rod Marinelli from the Cowboys decided to blitz Phillip Rivers. He would literally see the blitz. He'd change the play, redirect the protection, and throw a completed pass every time.
That was a quarterback work of art the other day. That's what that was. At the line of scrimmage, the whole thing, the throws, the whole deal. And they can rush the passer. Those two guys didn't even get a sack the other day, Tony, but they still got after him.
Tyron Smith and Lilio Collins did a very good job.
Yeah, and they're good pass rush, but they only had two sacks in the game. It wasn't either one of those guys. But you got Bosa and Ingram, and you got Phillip Rivers, you're dangerous. You're a dangerous team.
Well, the Falcons have Julio Jones, monster game, and the Falcons over the Bucs 34-20.
Yeah, he's not very good.
You know what that is? That's the old relax. All early in the season, people were panicking. Oh, Steve Sarkisian's over his head. This offense isn't the same, da-da-da-da-da. And you know what? It just takes a little time for a coordinator and a quarterback to start getting a good feel for what each of them wants and each of them wants to do. It took Kyle Shanahan a long time with Matt Ryan. It takes these coordinators a tough way to figure out what they can and can't do. Well, the Falcons are rolling
now. Do this for me then, Pete. Rank these four teams in the NFC. Eagles, Rams, Saints, Falcons.
What about the Vikings? Vikings.
Oh, yeah. Vikings. Yeah. Thank you, come Vikings. Yes,
okay.
Vikings.
Eagles won. Vikings, too.
I'm not talking – stop for a second. I'm not talking about records. I'm talking about if they had a round robin and they're in a tournament.
Steel cage death match.
I want to know who comes out of it.
Eagles won. Falcons, 2. Vikings, 3. Rams, 4. Or, no, Saints – yeah, Rams, 4. Saints, 5.
So you think the AFC title game will be Falcons, Falcons, Eagles?
Yeah, but this, Tony – the Saints would beat the Rams in New Orleans. The Rams would beat the Saints in L.A. The Vikings did beat the Rams in Minnesota and would beat them there. But I think so anybody who's at home is the better team, and that'll probably be the Vikings. Look, this is what happened the last 2 weeks. The Vikings beat the Rams. The Rams beat the Saints. But they each won at their own home place. So I think the Falcons are the most dangerous team in the NFC. That you know how I say the Chargers are the team nobody wants to see in the playoffs? The Falcons are the team in the NFC that nobody wants to see.
Who comes out of the NFC for going to the Super Bowl? Right now.
Philly.
Yeah, I think Philly. Philly is a complete team, too.
They have no weak spot. There's no real weak spot.
You know, I give Doug Peterson credit because he's calling a game, and they've changed what they do to help out their offensive lineman once Jason Peters got hurt. And they got the left tackle that has like 15 syllables in it.
Go on, Tony. Please.
I can't even picture it, so can't say it. Playing good left tackle. And now they help them. They get rid of the ball. They run. They do some RPO stuff. They, you know, they move the pocket. They run it when they need to.
The quarterback's good. They can run the ball.
I give Doug Peterson a lot of credit.
Let me ask you this. Somebody asked me this today. Who has more talent to work with? Carson on his team. Not just the offense. Carson Wentz or Tom Brady?
Carson Wentz.
Mm.
Yeah, I would say so, too.
I'm going to give it a try. Halapulavati. Is that right?
Vatai.
Halapulavati.
Vatai is his last name. I know that.
Yeah.
Halapulavati.
He's played pretty – he's done a pretty good job.
It's not even close.
He's done a pretty good job with it, though.
Yes.
Oh, that's his last name, Vatai.
Vatai is his last name.
Well, Halapulavati is his first name, and then Vatai is his last name.
No, it's not how you say it.
That's what it says.
I'm just telling you right now, it's not how you say it.
Okay. All right, let's go to Monday Night Football. Tom Savage, Jadeveon Clowney, and the 4-6 Houston Texans travel to the Inner Harbor. They'll visit M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. Joe Flacco and the 5-5 Baltimore Ravens await. Crab cakes in the press box tonight. Who you got?
I love that. I love it.
You do love that.
I love
crab cakes in the press box.
No, but last time I was there for the national game, there was no crab cakes in the – they had meatballs.
Place is going to hell.
Which I was disappointed. Yeah, good meatballs, but not crab cakes. I think the Ravens win. Their defense is playing really good.
They have 3 shutouts this year, Tony.
Yeah.
Three?
Their defense is playing really good football. They've come around. Give John Harbaugh a lot of credit. I thought they were dead in the water after the start they had. But they're playing better. Joe Flacco's playing better. They're not explosive offensively, but the way their defense is playing right now, I think they win the football game.
Yeah, I think they win the football game, too. You know, Flacco's averaging 5.44 per attempt. Oh, my God.
It's not good.
It's not good, Coach.
No.
Not good at all.
No. They'll win the game. And if they win, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they move into the 6th spot, right? Ahead of the Bills.
Yes.
I think the Ravens' schedule is pretty favorable. I think the Ravens are going to end up getting in.
Pete, tell me what happens this week, Jags-Indy.
Blowout. Refocused blowout. I don't think Indy's very good. Hey, they shut them out at Indy. They'll probably limit them to a touchdown or here, get a turnover, short field a couple times. They blow them out. They win that game. They got a tough one the week after with Seattle. They'll beat Houston, right? The 49ers will be at – Jimmy Garoppolo will be playing by then. That'll be a tougher game. And then it'll all come down to the week 17.
I go back.
Don't have any offense.
Pete, I go back to it. I would have said they're going to win every one of them. But unless this offense plays better, every game scares me.
Yep.
Pete, have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you next time.
You got it. Take care, fellas.
Pete Prisco.
Hey, great job, JP Kush. Taking over the controls for Joe. Outstanding job. I don't think we need Joe back, although we do miss his dolphin tones. In our headphones in Hollywood. can do better.
Max Hockman, Dave DeCandis, Tony Buscelli, JP Shander. Jaguars Monday, Jaguars Radio.